Well, folks, it's just about time for us to get started. So if I may, one more time for those of you who may just be joining us, welcome to Healing with the Arts Telesummit, How Art in Medicine is Changing Healthcare and Lives Today. Thanks so much for joining us. And Mary and I are here tonight with Sheva Kaur and Robert Browning. And the title of their talk is The Heart of Healing with the Arts, Intuitive Flow. And in a nutshell, this is going to be an experiential exploration of the fundamental role that the heart plays in both healing and the arts, and the intersection between them. Now, Sheva Kaur is the architect and director of HeartMath's Heart Mastery Program, the CEO of FIERA, Heart Ambassadors, and the founding executive director of the FIERA Foundation and Sunflower SunPower Kids. Mm-hmm. And she's also Pathways to Peace Director and Delegate to the United Nations and featured as a love luminary in Marcy Shimoff's New York Times best-selling book, Love for No Reason. Now, as a doctor of oriental medicine and heart math trainer, she's authored several books of her own, and through her alliance with CreativeForPeace.org, Sheva helps to bring young Israeli and Palestinian women together in retreat settings and through social media. Sheva speaks to people all over the world on how to access heart intelligence and inner peace in order to receive the benefit of the heart's impact on consciousness, health, performance, creativity, and social change. And Robert Browning is also a program director for HeartMath Healthcare, and after 19 years at HeartMath, he currently oversees training in the new development of healthcare programs. In fact, he's trained over 7,000 individuals and has led programs at some of the nation's top academic university medical centers and hospitals, including Stanford, Duke, UCLA, Kaiser Permanente, and Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Welcome to Healing with the Arts, Sheva and Robert. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
And perhaps to get us started, I know that you have a lot that you folks would like to talk about, and could I ask you just a few questions to get us started?
Absolutely.
One of the things that I'm real curious about it right away, both in the title of your presentation tonight and the explanation of it. It mentions the heart. So what role does the heart have in healing?
That's a big question. Sheva says, Sheva, do you want me to dive in or you want to go for it first?
Sure, go for it.
Well, the heart, there's so many ways you can talk about the heart. The heart, you can speak to it from a metaphorical disposition, you can speak to it from a biological composition, and I think as it relates to healing, and Sheva and I are both going to bring both our united perceptions and our individual perceptions and dovetail with one another. We've both been working with this material for a very long time and seen it manifest in healing ways in multiple dimensions of healing ways, but that's how you actually have to talk about the heart, because the heart, as it relates to healing, you can look at it from one lens in terms of how it relates to physical healing and how the heart rhythms respond to our perceptions and our emotions and our feelings, and how when we are experiencing feelings that aren't so pleasant, how the heart rhythms can be very chaotic. And in that chaos can distort mental function, brain function, our ability to act appropriately in ways that are self-caring, or the food choices that we eat, or certain self-behaviors. But when we shift and are able to use ways or methods to balance those heart rhythms and bring them into coherence, alignment, and harmony, and HeartMath does a lot of work, a lot of research on how positive, renewing, regenerating emotions like love or compassion or care or joy, how that can instantly shift heart rhythm patterns. It sets up an inner environment, even on, we're going to look at it first on the physical plane, that is optimal for healing. It not only balances the nervous system and starts secreting hormones that are helpful for our immunity and our health, but it also sends signals up to the brain where it allows us to be more integrated in the decisions we make for self-care and our healing choices. But beyond the physical part, there's a whole other, I'll just use the word for the moment, like a dimension to this, is that we use in the title intuitive flow. And so beyond all the health benefits, the raw, linear, measurable studies that we've conducted over the past since we were incorporated as a nonprofit 501c3 in 1991, what it also is there's a lot of new research around the access to intuition and how when we can bring our emotions into a more balanced, harmonious state, we're more aligned inside to connect with a larger intelligence, a larger sense of self that can help not only organize our body, but have us connected to more of, and I'm just going to go out and say it from a very personal perspective, more of our soul, you know, our spirit, our larger intelligence that informs us of things that we want to, how we want to respond and create in the world, how we want to create relative to our situations, how we want to create relative to what we're putting out in the world, and basically the attitudes and emotions we want to create for just a sense of joy and fulfillment in our life, which leads us to the sense that healing is much more than physical. It's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and it is physical. But the heart is a doorway to help align so many of those systems. So that's my intro piece, Sheva. You want to dive in or course correct?
I'm just kind of listening for the heart of this conversation at the moment, in that the word healing comes from the word hale, which means to make whole. So there's something about the process of healing itself that becomes all-inclusive. We wouldn't think that per se, because so much of our approach to healing, especially in our modern Western culture, is to get rid of sickness. But real healing is often requires embracing the gifts sickness brings. And the heart plays a crucial role in that, because poetic sayings like to see through the eyes of the heart are not just poetry. They have scientific merit in them. The heart itself is a sense organ. Science is discovering there's a brain in the heart with its own proteins, neurotransmitters, support cells, its own perceptual capacity, its own expressive capacity. All of that very recent in the research, relatively speaking. So to see through, quote-unquote, the eyes of the heart is a real thing. And the heart looks at our pain, our challenges, our sicknesses differently than our intolerance does, and often sees gifts in them that allow us to make new relationships to those things that is healing. And when we experience those qualities that embracing challenges and pain invoke, like compassion, acceptance, peace, love, care. Not tolerating, but at peace with. Those are different. The actual heart rhythm goes into a completely ordered pattern that heart math scientists call physiological coherence. And the heart itself, again, from the principle to make whole, is the only organ that communicates 100% with all other organs. They can actually take out your gallbladder and you can live, but they can't take out your heart. and have you survived that? It's central to the wholeness of your being. So when the heart is in its ordered pattern, everything else in the body's systems starts working together in harmony, which of course is an optimal state of efficiency for your body's energy and all its resources, and a perfect terrain to optimize healing. Over 1,400 things change biologically when the heart goes into this ordered rhythm that is initiated, to remind you, by an emotion like love. If we were to ask everyone on this call in this moment, point to yourself. I guarantee you none of you are pointing to your baby toe, your belly button, or your temporal lobes of your brain. Across every culture and every age group, every socioeconomic bracket of society, when people are asked to point to themselves, they point to the heart, except one place, and that's Japan. In Japan, people point to their nose, which in Japanese acupuncture is a reflex for the heart. So our experience of self, not necessarily what we think of ourselves, because we think ourselves to be our opinions, our preferences, our names, our life stories, but our visceral connection to self is at the heart. And all healing, in my own experience personally of healing and in my own experience working as a healer with others, comes from more authentically being who we really are. I love the African definition of health, which is to be fully engaged with life. So it's not a far cry to connect that to sayings like put your heart into it. So the heart of healing, as Robert started to point to, is vast in its dimensionality. Everything from optimizing your autonomic nervous system, your hormones and your neurotransmitter function, all the way to connecting you to the soul essence of your being.
Thank you, Sheva and Robert. Having said that, how does the heart relate to the arts, to art for the purpose of healing?
Well, I'll start on this one. I definitely don't consider myself an artist. You know, I think on one hand, I definitely grew up in a environment where both my folks weren't artists, at least in terms of how most people think of an artist. I was always slightly discouraged to sing because my voice would crack, and you know, my mom was embarrassed about her singing, and it wasn't, my dad was a cartoonist, but early on in his life he gave that up to basically make a vocation and put food in the family's mouths. And so I didn't grow up quite in an artistic home, and so I never really developed it, or even the thought of developing it. And so I also had a lot of judgment, a lot of self-judgment, a lot of feelings like, oh, there's no way, I'm not an artist. I mean, I like to dance, I could pull a smooth groove here and there, but I can't do that. And so where the heart, for my journey, started to connect with healing was I needed to remove those perceptions. You know, I actually needed to not judge myself or not feel that I'm a failure. And I had certain emotional blocks that was blocking me to creative expressions on how I'd want to express my soul into this world. And to that effect, some of the basic mechanics of some of the heart and the heart works of when you are shifting emotional states and getting those heart rhythms into more balance, it frees your mind and attention to embrace yourself, to embrace like, okay, it's okay to experiment. It's okay to go a little out of the bounds. We actually work with, Chev and I work very closely with a nurse executive who was very good, worked at very prestigious medical centers. And deep down, she also loved to do craftsmanship and make things, but when her natural journey into the heart of helping her with her own perceptions and her own insecurities, a natural part of herself emerged even more and began to flourish even more and take even more creative expressions to building a heart studio in conjunction while being a chief executive at many important medical centers there. And so clearing the blocks is one aspect to that question, especially in my journey, because it frees the mind to go, well, what are all the ways that we can creatively express ourselves to connect to this world? You know, each one of us have a particular talent that we might be cultivating, a particular trade, skill, a profession, some tool that we wield. But to me, creativity is, there's a continuum to our human experience. It's very rich. And you need to remove the blocks of self-perception that, you know, I can't, to be able to share yourself with the world, to your loved ones, to yourself, just the sheer joy of it. Whether it's dancing, Shev and I do some amazing folk dancing in a barn every once in a while, to whether it's creating music, and but it's those perceptions. So that's one aspect. I'll just start, kick it off with that. Sheva?
I'm just kind of pausing and taking all that in and saying, you know, there's something funny to me I have to say, just because the heart is so authentic, I have to be authentic here, about us being asked these questions as if we're experts on this. And the heart just slaughters that illusion. Part to me of why the heart is so central to healing and art, and of course the word art is embedded in the word heart, is because healing and the arts both belong to everyone, and everyone engages them. It just is so. The way that you put your words together, the way you cook your breakfast, the way you got dressed this morning or didn't, the way you live your life is a work of art. It's a creative act. The way that you express yourself to those you love and those you hate, it's a creative act. It is artistry. And the heart gives you the capacity, we know scientifically, to make conscious choice about that. So you don't just do it reactively. And of course, the word reactive, if you rearrange the letters with the same letters, spells the word creative. So when we learn to live life from those proactive qualities of the heart, love, care, appreciation, compassion, then every move is painting our reality and influencing others' experience. And that's a work of artistry. When we live our lives reactively, then we give away some of our capacity to be creative. And the heart's rhythm itself is a flip. It's a switch that flips our whole physiology from our reactive nature to our creative nature. So it is the gateway to creativity, and engaging in that coherent creativity, conscious living, is healthy, is healing by definition. So they commingle exquisitely. And every great artist, and great artists I don't define by just those who attain fame and fortune doing it, are expressing something of their authentic self, which means they're making contact with something of the heart of their being, and then taking that from an inner place and expressing it outwardly. Mm-hmm. So healing the arts and the wisdom of the heart and its interface with both of those things is not something that belong to me and Robert as experts. We love connecting with that because it belongs to everyone. So we could just as easily, Mary and David, we could in this moment open the lines for all your callers and ask them these same questions and get true answers that would be compelling for us all to hear, because the only expert where healing and art and the heart is concerned is your own heart.
That's so true. That's beautiful.
Thank you, Sheva. But let me ask you this, if I may. You talked about going from reactive to creative, and you know, that sense, that spirit of creativity is at the heart of art, no matter what it is. How do you access intuition for creativity?
Well, I'd love to actually edit you if I might, because this is something that's come up for me doing the beautiful work of healing with the arts, walking through the process and taking our students through the curriculum that Mary has developed in her gorgeous book. And in part of my own healing journey, as someone who started out in the arts, ended up in the healing arts, and is revisiting the way to combine them now in what feels like a homecoming of the marriage of the two. I was an actor as a child as well as a dancer, a very successful one. I funded my way through medical school in the early days, acting on television and in film, and had chosen to leave the performing arts because I felt so damaged by them. So not all art is healing. It's so important to tell the truth about that, because art can be used to exploit. And just this last week in our Healing with the Arts course, we were working in the section of the curriculum on visual art. And I don't know how much Mary's already spoken about the curriculum, but each section of this remarkable curriculum, which she's generously allowed us to do with our Heart Ambassador and Heart Mastery students here at HeartMath, and through my organization, Heart Ambassadors, is to do a visualization and create art based on it. And I walked through this process myself of doing the visualization, getting a clear picture of my oneness with all that is and the gold threads of light that connect me with all of nature and all of being. And I was high as a kite and just feeling that intuitive connection to all things, and saw a picture of what that looked like and got a clear download of how to go and replicate it, and remembered working with one of my favorite pieces of visual art I created in grade school, where the teacher had us get different colored yarn and make carpets with yarn and Elmer's glue on pieces of paper. So I decided I was going to make an Elmer's glue yarn carpet of this vision, and then proceeded to encounter obstacle after obstacle to create that piece of art. The local stores here where we live had no yarn. The Elmer's glue didn't stick the shoelaces I found to the paper. And much to my shock and awe, this thing that felt so healing to engage in was becoming incredibly frustrating. And I think it's the beauty of the need for intuition as we engage in both healing and art, because rarely, if ever, does it conform to our preconceived notions of how it should go. And our agendas block true heart intuition and creation, whether it's healing or art. So I was humbled by this experience of trying to create a grade school yarn carpet as an adult. And the next day, I threw the piece of so-called art, which didn't work out very well, in our laundry room, and went for a walk at my favorite place in nature, and had let it go. I was on to other things. And as I walked in nature, the sunlight was at that time in the day when it was golden and threads of light were bouncing off of the trees and the leaves and the ground and the rivers and refracting streams of golden light, connecting all things to all things. And it was the quintessence of this image I had seen in my visualization. And I just lifted my iPhone and took a quick snapshot of it and saw that nature had created the vision that I had seen. And it wasn't about yarn or Elmer's glue. It was intuitively there when I followed my love in an effortless split second. And what emerged out of that in our dialogue in the class following Mary's beautiful curriculum was a whole healing that I didn't even know I needed. And this is how intuition, which is activated by love, I love my time in this beautiful spot in nature, and I was drawn there by my love. This is what it means to follow your heart. Unfolds in front of us and within us an intelligence we often didn't know we had, and downloads insight we could not otherwise access. And the insight it downloaded for me was that imposing an agenda on top of creating can be frustrating and damaging. And it reminded me of the years I starved myself into anorexia to look like I wanted to look as a ballet dancer in the mirror, or similarly did things to my body to look the way I wanted to look as an actor in Hollywood, and that these things were not healing. They were truly damaging in all the dimensions, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And what I got to see out of that experience was that when I simply followed my love, that spark of connection, that art is creating itself all the time around me and through me much more beautifully than any linear vision I could impose. So really, this is just me speaking for me, the act of learning to heal through the arts rather than conform myself to become a successful artist has been the discovery that I can intuitively dance with what is and let its beauty reveal itself to me, and then simply frame that as my heart guides me to it and as I see it, and co-create art with all that is in that way. It's completely different than creating a vision of how I should look or it should look or sound and then trying to box life force into that. So that's my personal experience of intuition. Now, HeartMath has a ton of research on intuition and how the heart, they've done a study called the Electrophysiology of Intuition, on how the heart is actually the source of intuitive knowing and the first to know before any of the rest of the body. And how that information then travels from the heart to the cognitive brain. But you don't have to know how your car works to drive it. And you don't have to know the science of intuition to follow it. All you need, to quote one of my favorite artists, Robert Henri, who said, "They pride themselves on being able to analyze and understand my work as if it were necessary to understand when it is only necessary to love."
No, I love that, Shannon. It's beautiful. I'd love to add one of the things that comes to mind in hearing all that is, I was saying earlier how I never considered myself much of an artist, and as I've gone through Mary's book, and I've been following the exercises and the guides, my own definition of art has changed. And in following my intuition and in following what Shava is saying in terms of love, and what I realize is I really relate to the world and in an artistic way almost all the time. And it's definitely relating to healing. So it's not necessarily about pulling up an Elmer's bottle of glue and yarn. You know, I really do drop into my heart and focus in that area, and I get very sincere in my desire to love and care for this world, or to care for people who mean a lot to me, and or just to listen to my own inner guidance, my own soul, to go, well, who needs my attention now, or who or what needs help now in terms of energy. And often there is an intuitive signal in using some of the techniques that And perhaps we could share one on this call tonight, where I do, and sometimes that signal comes in an image or comes in a common sense understanding, or even if it's auditory or a feeling, but something to direct my attention towards, where I begin to radiate love or energy or compassion or whatever the texture is. You could say that texture is an energetic paintbrush, if you will. You know, you sometimes will pull out a palette and you paint a red thing or a blue, or you play a note on a certain instrument. I feel like the human bodies are healing instruments in a world of energy. And the artistry of stepping into that role as a healing presence on the planet, just acknowledging the truth of that. We really, each one of us are broadcasting an electromagnetic field that is having an impact on our environment, on our culture, on our relationships. And we're constantly brushstroke painting the energy that's being broadcast from that heart. And this is not auras or anything. This is actual true electromagnetic field energy. Anything that has an electrical current produces an electromagnetic field. And that's when you have radio waves and you have beautiful movies and television content, which are all art. The transmission of that is being carried on the field of electromagnetic energy into our homes and into our little boxes that play them for us. But our hearts, 7 billion hearts on the planet, are constantly broadcasting information and energetic that can be very healing, especially if that's the intention. It can be other things as well, but it can also be chosen to be serve, as Shava was showing, a wholeness healing. So I realized going through Mary's book that my life's work, my 19 years of doing this, even though I wasn't cultivating some skill, I actually am an artist. And I paint with energy, and I paint and I follow my intuition to know what it is I'm wanting to create moment to moment, day to day. Where am I putting my focus and intention? And it's definitely connected to everything Shava's saying. It's where the love goes, that's what flows. And if I get over-identified or stuck or stressed or my agenda gets in the way, just like she was saying, that flow goes on pause until I step back into it.
Thank you, Robert, and Shava, of course, and Mary.
Yes, it's beautiful.
We've been talking about your book, your program. Why don't you talk to these guys, please? Join us. What's on your mind? What would you like to talk about with these amazing people?
Well, you know, Robert and Shava, the science of heart math is definitely gives the scientific basis of how creativity is really the intuitive process that we open up our heart, and it's an expression of the heart's intelligence. And, you know, I'm so happy. I realize, you know, Robert, you are an incredible artist, and your work is art. And I think sharing, you know, the story of how you create art just by being alive, and just by the choices that you make and the way you choose to live. And Shava was saying, you know, art is the way we live our lives. And we can be proactive in creating intention through art, the intelligence of our heart, that can be so transformative. So everything that you're saying is just so powerful and so true. So I just love listening to what you're doing and the wisdom that you bring in the science of the heart, and that this is the future of our science. Our heart, the science of the heart, is really going to, you know, that's why it's such powerful medicine. It heals us.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're doing the program. So that sounds like it's fun. I mean, what are you doing? Tell me some of the stories, and tell some of the listeners some of the stories of how you're doing this work.
Shava, you want to dive in on that? We've loved it, Mary. It's been such a great context to integrate all this beautiful work together,
mm-hmm.
And And in fact, actually, it's been beautiful watching Sheva leads and conducts many of these types of programs, you know, online. And the nature of the book and the nature of this context, really, it's been beautiful to watch how she's opened the platform where the students mm-hmm. have become, like she was saying even at the beginning of this call, you know, any one person could call into this call and answer some of these questions because of just where the world is heading. But everyone's taken a collective ownership in not leading it, but let's say initiating a start point for the conversation in each of them as you go chapter by chapter. Mm-hmm. And still, you know, with the love that Sheva holds and I hold and we all hold, just the love helps create an environment for everyone's own inner inquiry to deepen and enrich in, and then they share. And I don't know if there's any things highlighted, Sheva, that you feel like would be beautiful to note about that on this call.
Well, again, I think it's just so marvelous that art has the capacity to heal, and healing is an art. And to combine them consciously it's like a radioactive isotope for growth and transformation, and it's so catalytic. And I just love engaging it on purpose, deliberately,
yes.
Because then the forces of, I want to say, the universe that created healing and created art come together in a blissful, orgasmic kind of union that has energy bigger than any of us are creating on our own. And we've all, those of us participating and going through the curriculum together, have acknowledged this, that setting about that process deliberately and consciously, especially as a group, is creating a dialogue with the quantum field of reality, which we are all in all the time anyway. Robert pointed to this. The heart itself is electrical in nature, so every heart cell is its own battery. And as a result, you put billions of these heart cells together, and they create a very large electromagnetic field that is just like your cell phone's electromagnetic field in communication with the fields around it. You have a cell phone tower right inside your core that is communicating with the quantum field that decides what will precipitate into manifestation and what remains in potential as energy. And so when we come together and deliberately choose to proactively and consciously create art for healing, there's an electromagnetic conversation that begins to occur that transcends our puny conscious minds and what we think about it.
Mm.
And when that happens, non-linear events occur that broaden the eyes and drop the jaw in wonder. Truly. So I'm thinking, you know, I'll share specifically for myself, and our students have countless examples in our classes. But for Robert and I, the intricacy of the puzzle pieces coming together in such a way that we could never preconceive is so extraordinary. So the example I will give is, in the depth of my despair, when I graduated from medical school with $100,000 student loan debt or close to it,
mm-hmm.
and had to decide whether I was going to live out of the back of my car and pay my student loans every month or default on my loans and have a place to live. So I spent the first year working as a doctor of oriental medicine homeless and did house calls until I could save enough money to pay my student loans and have a place to live. And the shame and the humiliation of being, you know, a person with a master's degree and homeless was something that was both I had to contend with, and of course it was a source of tremendous
awakening and realization for me of the truth of consciousness transcendent of the story we live. And at that time, I watched the movie The Secret.
Yeah.
And I also watched the movie Emmanuel's Dream. And those two films were portals of transcendence of possibility for me. And if you haven't seen them, I'll just leave it at that. You can go watch them if you feel called. Emmanuel's Dream and the movie The Secret. And so I couldn't have planned this in our Healing with the Arts course. But by the time we were in the Healing with the Arts course, doing, I believe, the section on the course where your, Robert, do you remember, was it the section where the inner healer and inner artist marry or come
mm-hmm.
together?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've already mentioned that I left the performing arts because it was damaging, not healing for me, and entered the healing arts and became a physician and blah, blah, blah. So I couldn't have planned that the night our class was meeting around this, the director of The Secret, who had since become a friend, flew to our home from Amsterdam because he was working on a movie about the heart.
Oh.
And set up our living room as a film studio to interview Robert and I about our love as a healing influence for the film. And I brought him together with a remarkable story, which we won't give away the punchline because you'll have to go see the movie when it comes out. But suffice it to say, an incredible story of a young woman who died, whose heart was transplanted into another woman who had lived much of her bucket list already and committed to living out the rest. So we spent the evening while our class was meeting being filmed for this movie in our expression of love rather than conforming to some ideal for Hollywood, but in the expression of the love Robert and I already are, and supporting this heart transplant patient to live that heart's dream. And catching the whole thing on the movie. And then I had a conversation, of course, with Emmanuel, who has subsequently become a friend and who my nonprofit supports and sponsors, that night on the drive home. All while our class was meeting for their Healing in the Arts, the merger of the inner healer and inner artist, and there was mine right then and there. One of the most traumatic things that happened to me as an actress when I was in theater conservatories as a teenager is that one of my teachers had decided that I wasn't sexy enough to be an actress. Now, there were cultural differences. I was coming from Nova Scotia. The average age for losing your virginity in Nova Scotia is in your mid-20s. Coming to, you know, the States and especially to the Hollywood scene where kids are sexually active in their preteens, some of them even, it was just a complete culture shock and cognitive dissonance. And so I didn't quite fit in and wasn't sexy enough, according to this acting teacher, who actually sent my parents a letter telling them as much. And my parents were none too pleased with that, as you can imagine, being academicians and physicians. So I was asked to enact a fake rape scene to bring more sex into the scene that I was doing for this teacher. And he had my scene partner chase me around the studio our class was in and then pin me down and enact a fake rape and then do the scene, as if that was somehow going to bring the energy that the scene was supposed to have. I had nightmares about that experience for many years afterwards, and Drew, my friend who had no way of knowing that the night that our class was meeting, said, you know, I really want to capture the love you guys have for this movie. So go ahead and play in the field. Robert, you, Sheva, run around and chase each other in the field. So now here I was being filmed for a movie, chasing my beloved and being chased by him in an act of love and true expression of the beauty of what we share and who we are, not in the ugliness of that exploitation of my teenage years. So healing was happening, and the merging of the healer within and the artist within was happening independent of being there in class with the group. And that's the kind of magic that's happening for everyone who's going through the program.
Yes. Did I hit you with a stun gun? That was powerful. That was powerful.
Right.
What I heard you saying is you transformed a memory that was very painful, and there was this new experience that sort of moved you to a, like you're on actually on film. So it was very telling about how did you feel in the time that it was happening? Did you have the memory at the time it was happening?
I didn't. It was only afterwards that I realized something that I haven't given that memory thought or attention in probably 20 years. So it was something that spontaneously occurred, and I only realized later, maybe 5 or 6 hours later, when the director and I were debriefing our experience.
Right.
And I shared with him the healing that he had created, and it brought us both to tears. Simply because it was happening, as I said earlier, beyond the knowledge conceptually that our puny conscious minds could wrap themselves around. It was happening in the larger field of our oneness with each other and all that is. And just by engaging the intention to heal with art, all of these things happened without our manipulation or control.
Yes.
I couldn't have crafted that. I couldn't even, it wasn't in my conscious awareness that that memory was even there anymore.
Right.
I had shifted to a new life. I didn't know there was energy in it to be liberated. But the heart, I'm going to say, the intuitive heart, in that case, the director's intuitive heart, felt into that and liberated something that was captured for the expression of love and beauty for the world. And this
exactly.
is what's possible when we come to heal with art intentionally. We start engaging with the field of unconscious information that's actually available as a palette for all of us to paint with and heal with. But we can't access it through the conscious mind because it's not available to the conscious mind. We have to enter it through the doorway of the heart.
You know, it's fascinating to just hear this. I'm having like a big insight just listening to this conversation. You know, I mean, we're currently in a world that's shifting and shifting quickly, and the energetics are constantly accelerating on the planet. And my experience of that, or my understanding of that, is that as that continues to increase, it's like a centrifuge. Like the things that we might not have thought about, or densities that we've accumulated through this life, or if you believe in multiple lifetimes, like they come to the surface. And one of my mentors, or our mentors, constantly emphasizes the importance of vulnerably identifying those as they come out. Not over-identifying with it or dragging onto it, but being able to give voice or language to it as it spins out, like to tag it with awareness, with a sobriety awareness. And I noticed just listening to Sheva's thing, it does remind me, this is before we wrote the book, Mary, but when I was in university down here in Los Angeles, I didn't know I had anything, quote-unquote, to be healed or that I was accumulating anything. And I had an English teacher who introduced this thing called, you know, you all know this probably on the phone, but free writing. And just said, all right, just sit down, you know, no agenda, there's no grade. I just want you to just start writing. You have 10 minutes and just go for it. Just like download. And whatever. And all this vehement emotions, like venomous things that I had about this particular person in my life were just discharging. And it was because I don't write. I've gotten so well at communication. And I know how to edit myself. And I know how to, you know, keep it all tucked so it keeps things, quote unquote, in harmony. But all the while, I was stuffing these other things. So once I got into another mode of expression, which was unfamiliar to my self-critiquing or self-editing or my pursuit of quote-unquote perfection, all this stuff that was in there had a porthole to come out and be tagged and be named and be identified and to, like, be free. And so I am seeing right now in this call how art, in terms of how one way of lens of looking at art, in terms of just different ways of expression or communication or giving voice to or language to phenomenon that's going on in the inner worlds or outer worlds, that there is freedom. And in freedom, I would say freedom is a word to me that means healing. As freedom or the energy of freeing density, there, in my experience, there's healing that occurs. There's an upspiraling of evolution and consciousness and an acceleration to be our more natural, real, true, authentic self. And so I'm gaining an even more appreciation right now on this call for the modality of art, especially, you know, when the heart is infused with it and there's an intention to heal with it, with love.
And then it's such an adventure, isn't it, Robert? Because, you know, you don't know what you're going to uncover, and what you're saying is so important about the fact that this is going on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There is a dimensional shift happening on the planet in which there's an acceleration of energy, whether you look at it biophysically and geomagnetically on the planet or whether you look at it more social spiritually. There's tons of evidence on both sides of that equation that the planet is going through big changes. And we are on this planet going through those big changes alongside. And so as I love the way you described it, Robert, of being like a centrifuge that's spinning off what isn't self. And so it's happening anyway, but it can happen more elegantly and more gracefully and more joyfully if we consciously participate in the process rather than becoming victims, having it done to us.
Mm.
And healing with art intentionally is one of the ways that I'm finding extremely fulfilling to be a conscious participator in that process.
Well said. Beautiful.
I am so deeply honored that you are sharing this work in your community, because I can't think of two most incredible facilitators to be able to bring this work. And I love the fact that you know, all of us are teachers. You know, each person in your program is a teacher. And that's been my experience. And it's just amazing how this work ignites us in a way. It ignites us. And it's so powerful. And it just gets into the flow. And it really does tap into the intuition of the wisdom of our hearts and how we can heal ourselves.
Well, and I love it, Mary, that you've made the curriculum open source, you know, that anybody can go get your book and walk themselves through this process or put a group together and walk the group through the process.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's so true to the nature of healing and heart and art to me, which is they are the domain of every being. You can't copyright those things.
Exactly.
You can't trademark those things. And so you've created a structure that allows people to enter themselves and come to know and express who they are more fully. And it's just such a gift. So, you know, it's a mutual bow.
It's a mutual bow, and I'm so honored. I love you both so much, and I love the inspiration and the grace and elegance in which you speak to the depth of what is underlining this work. And the heart science is really what it's based on, and how we create coherence when we really get connected to what it is seeing with our heart, because seeing out of the eyes of the artist healer is seeing with the heart. And I love the way you shared that, because it's so true.
We love you too, Mary.
Yes, we do indeed. So in fact, you know, engaging this work, and we see ourselves as students and facilitators of it simultaneously. And engaging that has been following our love for you and the work itself.
Mm-hmm.
Been definitely a following of the heart. And awareness and love are DNA spirals that wind around one another and facilitate each other. Because love creates coherence in the heart, which opens the higher centers of the brain and all the dimensions of our intelligence and its perception. So when we love, we become more aware, and greater awareness naturally breeds more love, because you can't be aware of more without loving more. So this is what it is to follow the intuitive heart into the making of art for healing. And our hearts have led us straight to you, Mary. So that's living proof that it works.
Well,
thank you,
Sheva,
and thank you, Robert,
and thank
you so much, Mary. Much as
thank
I hate
you.
To say so, we are just about out of time for this evening. Robert and Sheva, is there anything that you would like to add by way of saying good evening to our worldwide audience?
Good evening. That's all for me.
Eloquent as always. Thank you, Robert. Sheva, would you like to add anything?
Just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. And there's nothing... We're only pointing to what is available and in you. You could just as easily be interviewed on this call as we.
Well, thank you.
Thank you both so much.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, everybody, for being here.